Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. This week's guest produces Out in the Bay with me, and she's a GLAAD Media Award winner for her work as one of our earliest out comics. She's now a top talent coach for NPR stations and teaches performance at UC Berkeley. But she's with us tonight to talk about her solo show, It's All the Rage. It won Best One-Woman Show at the United Solo Festival Off-Broadway in New York last fall. She developed it at the Marsh Theater in San Francisco in 2010, and now she's brought it back to the Marsh. It's about her parents' 1997 murder-suicide and how she survived it. Not necessarily a gay theme, but how does a comic, one of the first openly gay comics in San Francisco, deal with such a personal tragedy and then turn it into a play? And will it attract a gay audience? She hopes so. Marilyn Pittman, welcome back to the guest side of the studio for Out in the Bay.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
So after a short run of It's All the Rage here in San Francisco in 2010, you go to New York and perform your show once. Win a top award.
Yes.
On an off-Broadway solo festival.
It's a curated show. It was one of 49 women, one-woman shows, and I won Best One-Woman Show. And it was astounding getting that award on November 20th in New York off-Broadway at Theater Row, and I won. And I beat out all these young, thinner, beautiful, heterosexual women, and it felt great to sort of be, like, you know, at my level of expertise and yet also a little bit older now and doing a show that's pretty intense about murder-suicide, about my parents. And I think I won because I think this show is compelling. It's 28 scenes in 60 minutes. It's got a lot of humor because I am a comedian and my story about me is funny and my family was funny. And also, you know, I think that people can relate to this. I hope they can relate to this. I know it's a bizarre thing that happened, but there's a lot of murder-suicide going on these days. You see it in the headline every day or two, every week or so, even in the Bay Area, Alameda, Fairfield.
I just found out from a friend of mine recently that his sister was killed by a woman who had a big crush on her, and my friend's sister was not gay, but anyway, there you go. I don't know if it was a murder-suicide, but I know the other woman killed her. That's how
wow,
much I
a
know.
Murder.
Yeah, at least a murder, and maybe a murder-suicide.
People are
so, yeah, you do. It comes
out.
You find out about this. You hear about your story, as I know has happened before when you've done this play. People come up to you with their stories.
It's very intense with some of the things that people say, and it's very, it really kind of opens people up to share things, and I'm very open to that. I think it's important to be strong for the audience and take care of the audience, and if they want to come up and share that, I'm perfectly comfortable with it. I did a radio interview on Veterans Day in November before I left for New York, and a lot of people called in. It was Veterans Day. My father was a veteran, World War II, and a lot of people called in and talked about, you know, I have the same dad as you. And, hey, well, my dad was in the Vietnam War, and we grew up with his temper and his rage. And so, you know, it was really revealing to me, not something I didn't expect, but it was nice to hear from all these people, you know, who really are enduring a lot of some of the similar things. Veterans coming back and having PTSD is one of the themes of the show. And so that's kind of my dad's story. He never, you know, they never treated it back then. They didn't treat PTSD, and you know, they barely treat it now, as I say in the show. And so, you know, and my dad came back, and, you know, this was the greatest generation, supposedly, and I'm not so sure. I think they were burdened by the war and the effects of war on the soldiers, and then girls not having much option but to get married and be supported by a man and have kids, and they didn't have many jobs they could have, you know, secretary, nurse, teacher, that was about it. And so my mom was faced with the choice of, you know, not much choice, actually, just having to get married. So the play is really, as I've, you know, been doing it now for a few years and deeply moved by it myself, and it's changed me. The play is really, I think, why am I doing it? I keep asking myself. And I think I'm doing it because of my mother.
Well,
I love her, and I loved her. And, you know, she just didn't have what I've had, all the freedom.
So since you just mentioned your mother, I want to hear this excerpt from It's All the Rage. This is the confrontational scene between you and your mother early in the play.
Mom, we need to talk. About what? About our family. Why? Is something wrong? Dad's mean to us, and you let him. I do? Oh, don't do this, Mom. Don't act like you don't know. What do you think I'm doing all this therapy? I mean, I could have been driving a nicer car. Oh. Marilyn, do you really need therapy? What do you think, huh? Yes, Mom, I need therapy. I mean, my relationships keep ending. I didn't have a good model. You know, and I'm just not getting any better. Well, all right. Well, Dad's not happy. You're not happy. Oh, I'm fine. I have my meditation group. And he's got the cabin and the Elks. Oh, the cabin. I should have known something was wrong when they called it Pittman's Last Resort. Mom, he eats all the popcorn. He hoards the celery hearts. He loves you kids. Well, he never tells me you're still protecting him. I am not. You are. Well, he has his way. He has his way with us. With you. Oh, Marilyn, we did the best we could. Oh, I'm so sick of you saying that. You know, it's just not good enough, Mom. Well, you are so judgmental. What about your spirit? I am that I am. I am that I am. What are you, Popeye, Mom? What are you doing? What are you, Popeye? I am that I am that I thought. What are you doing? Come on, Mom. At least I'm funny, right? I'm funny. Yes, Marilyn, you are so funny. You always make me laugh. I didn't know how to stop it. I still don't. I know. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. I see what this has done to you. I'm sorry. Thanks, Mom. Thanks. Well, it wasn't all bad, was it? Well, no, it wasn't all bad. Well, we had we played cards and we went to church and we took those trips. We had the cabin. No, Mom, it wasn't all bad. We did have a lot of fun.
That's Marilyn Pittman playing herself and her mother in her solo show, It's All the Rage at the Marsh in San Francisco. You can find out more at themarsh.org. At the very end of that, Marilyn, you say you had a lot of fun. What do you mean by that?
You know, the fact that my parents died of a murder-suicide in 1997 was so shocking and so horrific because it shattered a sense of who we thought we were, who we are, who you are all your life. You identify with the, you know, your family, the Pittmans. We were large personalities, educated, middle class, Midwestern, and we really laughed a lot. I mean, we put on little plays for my parents. We built little penny carnivals in the backyard. My dad would take us on these wild goose chases on vacation. That's part of the show as well, this wild story. I mean, we laughed a lot. We played a lot of games. We had a lot of fun. We went to Presbyterian church. Mainly for the potlucks. And, you know, we just had this really great spirit of pleasure and fun and games and toys about our family all my life.
So listening to this clip again, because I've seen the show a couple of times, it struck me this time that your mother sounds a little sad almost when she says, yeah, you're funny, as if, and I kind of wonder, to make me wonder how you used humor in your childhood. I know, now you say everybody uses humor as a coping mechanism, and especially...
Well, they know how to use humor, but yeah, it's a good idea. I think as a kid, I think I'm a comic. I think I've become a comic in my life. If you look at the story of my life, it's like out of adversity. I mean, I think I became a comic as a way of coping with my sister's verbal abuse and my father's verbal abuse. And my mother's passivity. And I became a comic because I found that it was the only way I had to defend myself. And so my mother and my sister are sort of my muses and also the instigators. And, you know, my sister would upset me, say something, and I would come back something snappy right at her and then make her laugh. And so I see. So I can, but and I got quick-witted and sharp, you know, I sharpened my skills that way through the adversity and the cruelty that I endured from my family and the stress of being around all that kind of, you know, annoying, harmful kind of behavior. And so I think I developed it as a defense.
Isn't that true of a lot of comics? I mean, isn't that kind of the way it is? Or
I haven't met any comics that are any good that are, you know,
Had healthy childhoods.
Yeah, I was like, don't everybody get well? There won't be any artists left, or, you know. I mean, if everybody's all happy, is the society blander? I don't know. I don't mean to sound so arrogant when I say that, because I would trade this story that happened to my parents, I'd trade that for almost anything.
Mm-hmm. How did your parents' deaths affect your sense of who you are and who your family was?
Well, it's like I'm saying, we were the Pittmans. We had quite an ego about ourselves. And so it shattered it. It just shattered it. It just took it all away. And it made me feel like I couldn't even tell people because I didn't want them to judge me. This is almost 15 years ago, and I'm well now. And the show has made me more well. The show has helped me a lot. As my wife says, before you did the show, the story owned you. And since you did the show, you own it. And I think that's absolutely true. Even though I don't want to admit that, hey, you know, I did this cathartic thing to help myself and then called it entertainment. I don't think that's true. I don't think it would have won the award in New York if that was true. That validates me artistically on this theater piece. But I think that it's a sense of, it just shattered me. That's, I don't have any, like, I can't say in a conversation, oh, yeah, well, my parents, because everybody's like, oh, yeah, your parents.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
when I was growing up, and I was like, yeah, boy, that must have been, you know. So, you know, I don't have the equality in a social conversation to talk about my family and things that happened and we did without it always being colored by the way that they died.
Right, of course. So your two siblings, an older sister and younger brother.
Gay older sister as well.
Yeah.
It's a genetic thing, people.
And then but your brother's not gay.
He's made a lot of children. We're happy about that.
And one of them is
actually
not the
gay
your
people
mother,
can't
right?
make children. Don't get all crazy, people.
Isn't one of the children your mother, actually?
Oh, my brother. Yeah, well, that's part of the show. In fact, my brother came to New York and saw the show with his girlfriend, and it was intense for me to perform it to him, even though he'd seen the DVD, because I make fun of him. It's kind of ruthless a little bit, because to me, I had to make fun of this. It's one of the funniest scenes I wrote one day sitting at home, and I read it to my wife, and she literally fell off the sofa. She fell off the sofa. And it's basically that his third wife, this Cuban woman who's a lawyer, who's the mother of his two little kids, she and he, after my parents died, they were so new agey. Like, my mother was all into the new age and all into, you know, looking up for life, and which is kind of my mother's story, that she kind of wasn't on the ground looking in front of her. And she divorced my father and then moved out, and then she kept going back over there to fix him lunch. And he was not well. He was delusional and psychotic from all these Percocet and painkillers and stuff. And he was, you know, depressed, obviously, and enraged. And so there's my brother and his wife, the Cuban woman, who they've convinced themselves in this very new age way, because my mother was very into this, that when they had these two new children a year and 2 years after my parents' deaths, that these two new children are, and they believe in reincarnation, my parents coming back in.
Wow.
And so then I do this bit about it that's fairly ruthless, because it's just...
But they laughed about it, yeah, or
oh,
not?
It kills.
Okay,
even
to your brother. Okay, that's
I
good.
Mean, and that's the other thing I want people to know. It's not a fun... My parents' deaths isn't what's funny about the show. What's funny about the show is, you know, the girlfriend who was channeling Jesus and Mary and left me for a therapist in Marin, the other stories of me getting in the car and just driving off on the anniversary of their deaths and not knowing where I'm going and checking into some Holiday Inn and I-5, and these kind of wild, funny stories of me kind of losing it a little bit and my own madness and my own rage and my own inability to really function here and there throughout the time. I mean, it's a long time ago now. It seems like a long time ago, but in those first 4 years, 5 years even, I wasn't right.
I can imagine. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guest is Marilyn Pittman, whose solo show, It's All the Rage, runs at the Marsh in San Francisco's Mission District now through April 15th. You can find out more at themarsh.org or marilynpittman.com. So before we play this next clip, I want to talk a little bit about your rage, since that's the name of the show. What kinds of challenges have you faced in coping with your parents' violent deaths?
Well, I'm glad I'm in therapy. And it did make me angry. I mean, I always was angry with my dad because he was such a tyrant and so controlling. And so this was his last act of control. And I think I was kind of radioactive there for a couple of years, and I was hard to be around. And that relationship I was in at the time ended. And so I found myself getting into a couple of accidents through road rage. This is before people started dying from road rage incidents. This is around 99, 2000, 2001. And I had a moment where I rear-ended a guy because then he hit the brake after and I had these two different accidents, small, minor accidents, due to my road rage. And that's when I went, you know, and fully into recovery on the road rage, because I saw that for some reason that's where I seem to want to think I can take this energy out. Mm-hmm. And so I began to try to, you know, with a therapist and with my loving wife and my friends, try to understand this rage, because it was frightening. It was totally frightening. And it's PTSD, largely. I mean, post-traumatic stress disorder. My dad had that after the war, like so many veterans coming back now.
He gave it to you.
He gave it to me. I was like, thanks, Dad. Oh, great. So you had it. You didn't get it treated. And now I have it because you went and killed my mother. You things we can't say on public airwaves. And so there's the anger right there. It just comes up. And so I work hard on it, and I work hard on understanding how to release it in other ways. I think performing is a way for me to channel it. I think working and doing the radio show with you that we do, all the things that I do have helped me survive it and not endanger myself any further.
Let's hear this clip from the show about road rage. This is from early on in the show.
In 2000, just 3 years after it happened, I honked at a pedestrian in a crosswalk at California and Polk. It was my green light. And she threw her latte all over my windshield, blinding me. I managed to pull the car over, and I got out of the car, and I came storming at her. And she got so freaked out, she started beating me up. And then she dropped her keys. I'm like, oh, my God, I got the keys. I got back in my car. Oh, I locked the door. Oh, I've got her keys. I'm going to give them back. I mean, you know, I was raised right, despite what happened. So she comes to the passenger door, and I crack it a little bit. You and I are going to work this out before I give you your keys back. I should never have honked at you. It was my green light. And I should never have come storming at you. I'm sorry. Now you say you're sorry for beating me up. No, say it. Look, say these words. I'm sorry I beat you up. Say it. Okay, here's your keys. All right, we are never going to do this again. I saw that it is a cause-effect world. I caused it. All the rage I carried inside me, I carried it right at her. Well, no wonder she freaked out. When I got home, I told my wife, I fell off the curb, I slipped on the curb and hit my head on a parking meter. Oh, no, listen. If you have a wife and she married you after this thing happened to you, because she says you're worth it, but she hopes you get better really fast because she's not really into rescuing as a lifestyle. You do not add to her list of things to be worried about you. No, you don't. You hide it. So she doesn't leave you like everybody else.
Yeah, heavy. Funny and heavy both at the same time.
Everybody left me. A lot of friends just left me. They just, you know, my spiritual friends, actually, that was what was so shocking. My mother was so spiritual, but the spiritual people couldn't handle the darkness of it.
Now, I remember there's a piece in the show, too, about a friend who you saved her life, didn't you? From the drowning or something like that.
She claims I saved her life swimming with the dolphins in Kona during the Reagan era. And it's a story I tell about. She says I saved her life, but I guess I did. But out there swimming, and she got a foot cramp, and I pulled her over, and we hung on, and I helped her get back, and all this. And then, you know, this thing happened to me, and 10 years after that, and we were friends for so long, and then she just, like, went away. It was just the weirdest thing. And I learned a lot. You know, I've been through a lot. I have a lot of authority to talk about this. I think what happens is that, you know, I was radioactive, like I said earlier. And I have to be honest, and I say this in the show, I don't know, maybe I would have left me too. I can't say I wouldn't. Who am I to think that if that had happened to me, it's such a horrible thing and so violent and against a woman. And here's this lesbian friend of mine who's, you know, she just can't handle it, you know, and she can't handle me, and she can't handle dealing. She didn't want to be around it. So, you know, I've forgiven her, but then I had to make fun of her in the show for it.
Of course.
Hey, don't make the comics mad. We'll just put you in the show. And I put Deb and my wife in the show, but then that's all pretty positive because she's so amazing.
And she's okay with it all the time or most of the time? Or
that's been a challenge for her.
I mean,
I think she didn't get into this.
I've seen her in the audience squirming a couple times.
Yeah, I think she's sometimes wondered, looking back after the first 2 years, like, what did I do here? What did I get myself involved with this person for? But she is also a person who had been through a lot of loss. She'd lost a child, a stepdaughter, when she was in her 20s, and accident on a motorcycle, and one day here, the next moment gone. And that really affected her. I mean, that's sudden death, and that's sort of what, you know, I endured as well. Car accidents are sudden death, and so are violent deaths. And so, you know, dealing with sudden death is incredibly difficult, and it puts you into shock. And so she had already been through that in her late 20s. And so when she'd heard this story, and we had known each other briefly from our roots in New Mexico, and she'd heard this story, she was so reached out to me and so just completely compassionate towards me, and has always had a pretty high threshold for my madness, my rage. And yet, you know, we've worked on it. And, you know, our marriage is strong, but it's, you know, it's marriage. It's never easy. It's, you know, it's challenging sometimes. And I think she's not sorry that she got involved with me, because I have made tremendous progress. I mean, it's almost 15 years, and I'm pretty calm. I don't get riled up too much.
When you mentioned friends, you know, leaving you, it reminded me of when I interviewed Judy Shepard, Matthew Shepard's mother, and she said the same thing. She had friends who could not handle the guilt that they felt that she's lost a son in this horrible way, and they have theirs, and what are they going to talk to her about? It's just too uncomfortable for everyone concerned, is the way she put it.
I think so. Unless you've really endured great tragedy and great loss, I don't think you develop your heart in this ability to be compassionate for others. I think that's one of the benefits of what I've been through, is that I'm really compassionate for other people's suffering in a way that I wasn't before. I was much less interested in, oh, yeah, you're having a hard day, you know. Now I get it. I feel like I have more open-heartedness. And so I've made new friends. And these people, the friends in my life right now, you know, you included, they don't shy away from it. They're not fazed by it. It isn't something that's going to alienate them.
I'm curious if, you know, queers have endured a lot of violence over the years, homophobia, transphobia, AIDS. Do you think your years as an activist helped you prepare in any way for, you know, for this personal tragedy, this personal loss?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think so. I mean, and I became a comic during the AIDS crisis, one of the first openly gay comics, right? So nobody was an out-gay comic except a small group of us, Tom Amiano, Margot Gomez, Leah Delaria, Karen Ripley, Karen Williams, here in San Francisco. And, you know, it was a courageous time. We came out and we were out, and even if it meant we didn't get work and we couldn't work in the mainstream club. So that courage, that was a courageous time for a lot of us in our community. And I think that courage has helped me. I think a lot of therapy has helped me. And I think you know, coming out through the feminist movement in the early 70s, that really helped me and empower me as a woman and making my own choices and being a free woman, a complete opposite of my mother. And my mother really supported that and wanted my freedom and wanted that for me, because she couldn't have that. And that's why I think I'm doing the play, in part, is to honor her. And I think, you know, I think being an activist has strengthened me and made me more fearless. Yeah.
You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guest is my fellow radio producer, Marilyn Pittman. We're here on the air together for a change to talk about her award-winning solo play, It's All the Rage, which runs at The Marsh in San Francisco's Mission District. You can find out more at themarsh.org. Let's hear another scene from the play. This is a little more dramatic. Suggest you're getting into the darkness of the story. It's called Bullets.
My sister saw my father that Friday, the day before it happened. He came over. Well, he asked me, where's Mom? He always called her Mom. Where's Mom? Well, I didn't know she'd lied to him, so I told him where she was. Well, you should have seen his face right then. He had this look on his face like, that's it. It was weird. He gave me a big, long hug, and then he said, there's a bike in my garage you might want to have. He bought the bullets 5 days before I know, because she moved out on the 4th. He went down to Farmington on the 9th and bought them. It's a brand new box, 7 missing. See, for me, the thing is, he needed her. He needed her. He couldn't live without her. He left that loving card for you on his dresser, Mare, so you'd find it. She just didn't know what she was doing to him. She just didn't know how crazy he was from all those painkillers. She pleaded with my mother not to go over there that night. Mom, don't go over there. Don't go over there. You don't know what he'll do. You can get your oil changed someplace else. No, no, no. He wants to do it. He wants to do it. He's going to do it. didn't hear from him that night. She called the next morning. No answer. And she drove over to their house. She pulled up. And she saw those oil cans sitting there at the top of the driveway. She knew. She knew.
Marilyn Pittman in her solo show, It's All the Rage. Yeah, it's you'll laugh and you'll cry. Seriously, I mean that was my reaction to the show. Certainly,
it's a tragedy.
Seen it two or three times. Yeah,
it's up there with Shakespeare.
What's been the hardest part of this journey for you?
Facing it, I kind of didn't face it. I kind of compartmentalized it, and then in 2007, I took a workshop with David Ford, who's the director of the piece. And my collaborator, who's brilliant, and I did a workshop with him, and I developed 20 minutes. And because my partner was like, you need to either go to therapy or do a show. And so I did, and it scared me, and I walked away from it and didn't come back for two more years. And so just doing it is hard. And now it's not as hard, now that I've had time to let the benefits of doing it help me, and also more time and distance. And also the power of it. And I think what's also hard is not knowing now that it's an artistic success with the award in New York. I don't know if it can be a commercial success. I think it's this kind of scary topic for people. I don't think it's one that they're like, oh, yeah. I think the comedy audience, the stand-up comedy audience is going to see people like, you know, Louis C.K. and Jim Jefferies. I think that audience, they're like, oh, yeah, Murder-Suicide, let's go see that. But I'm not sure the theater audience is as comfortable with it. And and so I'm trying to find that out. I'm trying to hit that balance. And I'd like the support to come from the gay community. I'd like the support to come from the lesbian community, because it's about a woman's struggle and her suffering. And so I'd really like to see the community there to help support me. That would be really nice.
And you got a little special deal.
Oh, yeah, I have the community deal. Yeah, if you just type in the word family as a discount code, you get a very, very, very inexpensive ticket to an absolutely award-winning show at themarsh.org or marilynpittman.com.
I think we got time for one quick little question. I think you said early on that at the awards in New York, were you the only lesbian there? You said a bunch of other heterosexual women, young things.
I think there was a couple of lesbian shows.
Okay.
But it was, you know, I was definitely the oldest. And definitely, maybe it wasn't quite the oldest, but yeah, it was pretty exciting when they called my name. I've never won much. I won a GLAAD award for my work as an out comic, and this was the second award 20 years later, and so it felt really good to get that validation. Oh, New York says it's an award-winning show. Everybody wants that, right?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. My guest is Marilyn Pittman, and she's my co-host and co-producer as well. Her show, It's All the Rage, is at The Marsh. Go see it, and you'll be happy that you did. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. Our show is broadcast and streams live every Thursday at 7 p.m. ¶¶